Israel keeps up its deadly onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip, with the death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide rising to over 34,000. The Iraqi military base housing PMU resistance fighters comes under a drone attack south of the capital, Baghdad. Some Iraqi officials blame the strike on Israel. U.S. police in New York raid a major pro-Palestine sit-in at Columbia University campus, arresting more than 100 students. This is news. Thanks for joining us. More Palestinians have lost their lives as the Israeli regime goes ahead with its genocidal war on the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Health Ministry has reported 37 deaths in Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes and shelling over the past 24 hours. New fatalities have pushed the death toll since the beginning of the war to over 34,000, mostly women and children. At least 76,900 Gazans have also been injured during the same period, while thousands remain unaccounted for. Palestinians in the besieged Strip are struggling to survive as the regime keeps blocking humanitarian aid. UN agencies have reported steep rise in malnutrition in Gaza. Health services are also on the brink of collapse, as only 12 out of 36 hospitals are partially functioning. The regime continued its genocidal campaign in Gaza, defying a global outcry. Our correspondent Mutiaba Musaba joined us earlier from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah with the latest on Israeli strikes on southern cities of Rafah and Khan Yunis. Let's take a listen.
Yes, actually, the Israeli occupation forces scaled up their airstrikes and attacks against multiple areas in the Gaza Strip, and this began from Rafah City, whereas the Israeli occupation forces committed an alarming massacre against the Palestinian civilians there after the Israeli war planes carried out an airstrike against a residential apartment in Tal al-Sultan neighborhood, which is known as one of the most densely populated neighborhoods and squares in Rafah City. At least 10 Palestinian civilians, including 6 children and women, were reportedly and tragically killed and murdered over the attack. In the meantime, more Israeli airstrikes hit sporadic areas in the same city, while the western parts and the coastal parts of the city were subjected to heavy gunfire of the Israeli military boats. While when it comes to Khan Yunis city, particularly the surrounding areas of Al-Mawasi area, they were subjected to multiple Israeli airstrikes, knowing that Al-Mawasi also is completely overcrowded with the displaced Palestinians who have been displaced from different areas in Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza Strip, and they are crammed in that area. The Israeli occupation forces repeatedly attacked that area, leaving and causing more death and more Palestinian civilians being killed in that area.
The Israeli occupation forces have carried out fresh raids on several areas across the occupied West Bank. They include the Nur Shams refugee camp near the city of Tulkarm, where at least 7 Palestinians have been killed since last night. Our Ramallah correspondent Mona Kandil joined us earlier with the latest updates on the Israeli raids. Let's listen to what she had to say.
For over 40 hours, unfortunately, the Israeli military is still conducting a military raid in the Nur Shams refugee camp in Tulkarm. During this military raid that is still going on, Israeli soldiers are raiding Palestinians' homes, forcing women and children out of the homes and turning these houses into interrogation centers. At least 7 Palestinians had been wounded this morning. 2 Palestinians were shot and killed last night, including a Palestinian child. Reports coming from the Nur Shams refugee camp, people there are saying that at least 5 more Palestinians had been killed. However, they are confiscated, their bodies are confiscated by the Israeli forces inside the refugee camp of Nur Shams, while the Israeli forces is still preventing Palestinian ambulances from entering the refugee camp of Nur Shams, or to make sure that Palestinians had been killed or not, as the Israelis are still operating inside Nur Shams refugee camp and inside the city of Tulkarm. And at the same time, exchange of fire is taking place between the members of the Palestinian resistance groups in the Nur Shams refugee camp as well with the Israeli forces.
The exchange of fire between Israeli regime forces and Hezbollah resistance movements continues in southern Lebanon as tensions remain high over the regime's genocidal war against the Gaza Strip. The Lebanese resistance movement has launched several operations against Israeli positions in the Hadab, Yarin, and in Mount Yarmouk, causing casualties. The regime forces also attacked residential areas in the Lebanese territories. Our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh, joined us earlier for more details.
The operations here have continued unabated. Hezbollah has proven, especially with the Israeli and U.S. pressure that is being put on Lebanon through diplomatic means. It seems Hezbollah is continuously basically targeting the Israelis, despite the fact that we have several days where there where Hezbollah tightens the noose and basically presses ahead with really significant, complex operations. At some times, there are routine operations. Today in the early morning, Hezbollah launched, as you said, an operation against the base of Hadab Yarin. And this is one of the bases. And it's a surprise to see that Hezbollah always finds something to target in those bases. Although some of them have been destroyed, their technological devices, their espionage devices, their radars, a lot of them have been destroyed. Hezbollah has also targeted a deployment of soldiers in the Mount of Adathir. Mount of Adathir is one of the series of mountains that are of the Jurmuk mountain. There is also the issue of the operation in Arab al-Jurmuk, Arab al-Aramisha, excuse me, which is one of this was significant operation recently. We know from Israeli media that at least six Israeli soldiers are still in very, very critical condition in hospital, and despite the fact that there is no disclosure of the, a number of soldiers, if they were dead or killed, but this was a very significant operation. The Israelis, of course, continue their shelling. Yesterday, they reached areas that are closer to the city of Tyre. Today, they are bombarding the heart of the towns of Kfar Kila and Ait Shaab. These are residential areas, civilian houses that are being destroyed on a daily basis.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has fired drones at an Israeli position in the occupied territories following an early morning attack on an Iraqi military base. The umbrella group of Iraqi resistance factions has released a video of its attack, saying they targeted a key location in the occupied port city of Eilat. The strike followed a drone attack on an Iraqi military base in the Babylon province. The base is jointly used by the Iraqi resistance group known as the Popular Mobilization Units, or PMU, the Iraqi Federal Police, and the Army. Some Iraqi officials blamed the pre-dawn attack on Israel, although a PMU statement says the U.S. was behind the incident. According to the chief security official in the Babylon province, there were five explosions at the base, leaving at least one person dead and several others injured. Saad al-Mutalabi, Iraqi politician, joined us from Baghdad to tell us how the presence of American forces poses a big challenge to Iraq's stability and sovereignty.
Definitely, there's always the risk of security breaches when you have foreign forces on your soil. You don't know, we don't know their aims, we don't know their targets, we don't know what the strategy they are holding being in Iraq. Are they using Iraq as a launching point for instability in the region? Are they using to destabilize the country like they did in 2019 when the American embassy and the American bases were actively, were very active in leading the demonstrations against the Iraqi government and the Iraqi democratic system? So the presence of these forces definitely contradict with the sovereignty and the security, the strategic security of the nation. The parliament, the biggest bloc that is leading the parliament at the moment, are determined that the Americans must leave. If the government, represented by Mr. Sudani, does not achieve this target, definitely the parliament will have a different view. The political parties which dominate the Iraqi parliament has already declared their intention, they're already declared that the Americans must leave. Not only the Americans, all foreign fighting forces must leave the country. This issue is already in discussion. I'm sure that with the return of the Prime Minister from the United States, the Prime Minister will be informed of the results of these meetings, of this committee, and the dates and method for the Americans to leave Iraq will be declared. But definitely they are going to leave. We have taken the decision. The decision has been taken by the Parliament and the people of Iraq that the Americans must leave.
U.S. police have detained more than 100 pro-Palestinian students staging a sit-in on the campus of New York's Columbia University. The police clamped down on the protesters and cleared an encampment set up by students demonstrating against Israel's war in Gaza. Several students involved in the protest were also suspended from the university. They include Isra Hirsay, who is the daughter of Ilhan Omar, a Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives. The university professor Joseph Howley has criticized the move, saying the university responded to how the students were protesting rather than what they were protesting for. Meanwhile, the students returned to the school premises in defiance and in protest against the university policies. Since the onset of the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza, universities across the U.S. have seen a rise in protests and civil disobedience. Iranians from all walks of life have taken to the streets to voice their support for the IRGC's operation True Promise. The rallies were held after the Friday prayers in all major cities across the country, with huge crowds taking part in the mass nationwide demonstrations. Yusumi Shahmadi has more.
Chanting anti-Israel slogans and carrying placards with messages thanking the IRGC for conducting Operation True Promise. Thousands of Iranians marched down the streets in major cities across the country after the Friday prayers to voice their support for the armed forces and a recent punitive military operation carried out against Israel, dubbed Operation True Promise. The retaliatory attack was in response to Israel's deadly attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria on April the 1st, resulting in the martyrdom of top IRGC commander, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, and six other military officers. The punitive retaliatory attack involved a slew of drones and missiles targeting and causing damage to Israeli military bases.
There was a time when they could attack us and get away with it. But now the IRGC has proven that those days are over. I'm so proud of them.
We've been waiting for this moment for so long, ever since they assassinated Haj Qasim. I'm so grateful to our armed forces.
The IRGC really made all Iranians proud. We are so happy. That is why I'm here to thank them.
I was so happy on the night of the attack that I came out on the street to celebrate that the Israelis finally got what they have deserved after committing so many crimes.
The demonstrators also used the opportunity to denounce Israel's genocidal war in Gaza and its crimes against Palestinians.
We are here for the people of Gaza. I don't think any human being can watch what's happening and be indifferent.
Defending the oppressed is our duty. That is why I always take part in these demonstrations.
In cities all across Iran, people took part in mass demonstrations to show their support for the IRGC and Operation True Promise. Gisumi Shahmadi, Tehran.
The United States has announced the withdrawal of its forces from Niger, ending its over decade-long military presence in the West African country. The decision came after a meeting of the U.S. Deputy Secretary of State with Niger's Prime Minister on Friday. A delegation of U.S. officials is set to visit Niamey to arrange the withdrawal of troops that were deployed under the pretext of fighting terrorism in Niger. Nigerians have held numerous protest rallies in recent months to demand their government expel foreign troops, including Americans. Niger's former colonizer, France, pulled out its forces at the end of 2023, but about 1,000 U.S. soldiers remained in the African country. Anti-West sentiment has been running high in Niger following a coup that overthrew the government of President Mohamed Bazoum last year. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea, the DPRK, has carried out two major tests, including a super-large warhead designed for a strategic cruise missile amid growing tensions on the Korean Peninsula. According to the state media, the warhead was tested simultaneously with the launch of a new type of anti-aircraft missile in the West Sea on Friday afternoon. The South Korean military said it detected several cruise and surface-to-air missiles fired toward the same body of water. Pyongyang has, in recent months, celebrated its missile and nuclear programs with test launches ranging from cruise ballistic and hypersonic missiles. The latest move followed a veto by Russia at the Security Council to effectively end the UN monitoring of sanctions imposed on the DPRK. Western sanctions on both countries have led to an increase in military cooperation between Pyongyang and Moscow. South Africans have been given a taste of Iranian culture as the Islamic Republic marked its National Week in various cities of South Africa. Showcasing Iran's rich heritage, officials are excited it opens avenues for improved cooperation and understanding. Essence Area has more.
Instead of beating the drums of war, it is the delicate taps of instruments such as the dulcimer or the santur in Persian and the harmonious melodies of different tongues that should be wafting across borders. As Iran celebrates its National Culture Week in South Africa, officials and the public have visited exhibitions in the key cities of Johannesburg, Pretoria and Cape Town to learn more about the Persian heritage. The event was held at the Castle of Good Hope in Cape Town, which was a Dutch colonial fort and is now a museum.
Culture is a very powerful construct because it forces people to communicate, not only through language, because I can't speak the Iranian language, they can't speak Afrikaans, which is my mother tongue, but through our handiwork, through our art, through our crafts that we do, we can connect as human beings and exchange ideas, because culture is not devoid of power and of politics.
And this view is shared by South African officials and even within the Organization of Developing Economies, BRICS Plus, which Iran joined at the beginning of 2024.
But I'm looking forward to us coming out with a university of some sort. And that university is going to be a technology-driven university that has got culture imbued in it, because we cannot just be driven by, you know, gadgets and technologies. We have to put our humanity within this technology. If we can do that, I believe that we can go very far as a people.
Member of the BRICS does not say that I'm the one, other members should follow me, my culture is the best culture. No. They work on the independency of the culture. Every country or every member of BRICS has its culture, but at the same time they work with each other. It means that they enrich each other.
South Africa and Iran have extensive relations, and so through expanding this exchange of unique arts and crafts, they can effectively use the skills of their respective peoples to develop economic ties and, within the framework of BRICS Plus, shape a new world which breaks away from the current system. Culture is important now more than ever, as it fosters understanding and can develop closer relationships between different peoples. In a world overwhelmed with conflict, exhibitions such as these are important for peace. Hassan Siria, Cape Town.
And that does it for World News. Thanks for being with us. It's bye-bye for now.
follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
The Limelight.
The Washington Post reported that the United States has green-lighted the transfer of billions of dollars worth of bombs and fighter jets to the Zionist regime. According to the report, the new arms package includes more than 8,800 MK-84 2,000-pound bombs and 500 MK-82 500-pound bombs, according to Pentagon and Department of State officials. Some of the bombs approved have previously been associated with high casualty counts in the Gaza Strip. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, in recent days, the Biden administration approved a shipment of fighter jets and bombs worth billions of dollars to Israel, a new report shows. This decision came despite Washington's apprehensions regarding a possible military operation in southern Gaza's Rafah, which poses a significant risk to the lives of hundreds of thousands of Palestinian civilians. According to the Washington Post report, the latest arms shipments to Israel encompass over 1,800 MK-84 bombs, each weighing 2,000 pounds, and 500 MK-82 bombs, each weighing 500 pounds. The Post reported, citing U.S. officials who chose to remain anonymous, that the 2,000-pound bombs have previously been associated with significant casualties during Israel's military actions in Gaza. The MK-84 and MK-82 bombs, which were approved for transfer this week, had received congressional approval years earlier, though their delivery had not been completed until now. The 2,000-pound bombs, which can demolish city blocks and create craters wider than 40 feet, are rarely used anymore by Western militaries in densely populated locations due to the risk of civilian casualties, the Post reported. According to the newspaper, a State Department official said that fulfilling an authorization from one notification to Congress can result in dozens of individual foreign military sales cases across the decades-long life cycle of the congressional notification. The official told the Post, as a matter of practicality, major procurements, like Israel's F-35 program, for example, are often broken out into several cases over many years. Earlier this month, the Washington Post reported that the U.S. had approved more than 100 separate arms sales to Israel since October 7th and did so without having to notify Congress.
Last week, Middle East Eye reported that the U.S. was planning to move ahead with several major arms transfers to the Zionist regime. Part of the package of arms transfers that the U.S. would notify to Congress is a new shipment of precision-guided munitions worth more than $1 billion. In addition to that sale, the U.S. plans to move ahead with a $2.5 billion sale of F-35 fighter jets. Josh Pohl, the former director of Congressional and Public Affairs for the State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs, said. The report from the Washington Post comes after a U.S. State Department official said recently that the famine likely exists in certain parts of northern Gaza, with other regions at risk of descending into starvation. This statement came a day following the world's highest court's directive for Israel to allow the entry of food aid into the area. A State Department official told Reuters, "While we can say with confidence that famine is a significant risk in the south and center, but not present in the north, it is both a risk and quite possibly is present in at least some areas." A State Department official said that the count of trucks delivering aid in southern and central Gaza had almost hit 200 daily, marking a rise from the previous month. However, an even greater number of trucks was required. Anadolu agency also reported U.S. President Joe Biden has secretly authorized billions of dollars in new bombs and fighter jets for the Zionist regime in recent days, according to a report published recently. The Zionist regime's war on Gaza continues to rage with widespread destruction, displacement, and death throughout the coastal enclave. Tel Aviv regime has vowed to take its offensive to the southern city of Rafah, where some 1.5 million displaced people have sought refuge, despite warning of the humanitarian fallout that would ensue. The planes and engines are estimated to be worth around $2.5 billion. The sales have not been notified publicly, and there are no corresponding announcements on the War Security Cooperation Agency's website where such notifications are normally posted.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to your program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about different teachings from the Holy Quran about the human being and humanity, and we try to understand the position of human being in the overall theology of Islam. And in the previous episodes, we ended up talking about some of the ahadith that we have interpreting some of the verses of the Holy Quran about human intellect. We said that the role of intellect in the overall interpretation, the overall image that we take from the Holy Quran image of man, we see that the role of intellect is a significant role, and that's why we need to understand what exactly this intellect is. And if it is anything that we normally call this person is very smart, for example, Quran also means that, or there's a specific sense of the word that has been used in the Holy Quran or in the interpretations of the Holy Quran in the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we said there's one beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that interprets intellect practically. Well, there are different theoretical discussions about how we can understand intellect, the relationship between intellect and emotions, and but one easy way to understand the nature of intellect is by seeing and locating the practical results and consequences and manifestations of a person who has intellect. So there's this beautiful hadith from the Prophet that says, if a person has perfected the intellect, then you have to check these 10 virtues in him or her. If he or she has these 10 virtues, then it shows that he has a perfect intellect. So one or two of them we covered previous episode. Now we're going to cover some of the rest. Another virtue is that a person who possesses intellect and he has rational understanding is that يَسْتَكْثَرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرَ مِنْ غَيْرَ. Such a person, when somebody does a favor to him, he takes it as a big deal. He behaves in a way that shows that I appreciated your favor. I appreciate your help. يَسْتَكْثِرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ. Even if it is small, then he thanks you, he shows gratitude to a level that as if it's a big deal. And we had this in the life of our ulama, for example, Imam Khomeini. May Allah be pleased with his soul. A person says towards the end of his life, when I brought just a glass of water for him, he started thanking me and showing gratitude, and I was somehow surprised. It was just a glass of water, but as if I had done something. This stems from the humility of a person. يَسْتَكْثَرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ. And humility is a sign of perfect intellect. يَسْتَكْثَرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ غَيْرِ وَيَسْتَقِلُ كَثِيرَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ نَفْسِ. When he does a lot of good things, he makes a big favor to other people, help them greatly. He acts as if it's nothing. He acts as if it was his duty, it was something that, again, we have this in the behavior of people who had been trained by Quran and Ahadith, and they have perfected their intellect in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam. We're going to have a break and we come back to continue talking about the other virtues of a person who possesses intellect according to this beautiful hadith.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we covered two other virtues of a person who has perfect intellect, and now we should continue to know the rest of them. Another virtue of a person with perfect intellect is that he does not get tired from learning. وَلَا يَسْأَمْ مِنْ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ طُولَ عُمْرِهِ. A person with perfect intellect does not say, okay, now I'm graduated, it's finished, learning is finished. No, my brother, my sister, formal education is finished, if there is a finish line for that. Learning does not finish in your life. We always should be ready, should be accepting lessons. لَا يَسْأَمُ مِنْ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ طُولَ دَهْرِ. Throughout his lifetime, her lifetime, he doesn't get tired. Say, okay, I spent 20 years learning, then I don't want to learn. No, even in any vocation that you have, in any job you are, whatever career you have, there are always things to learn and be more perfect in what you do. So a sign of a person with perfect intellect, according to the Prophet ﷺ, is that such a person does not say, okay, now this is the finish line of learning. No. لا يسأل من طلب العلم طول دهره. ولا يتبرم بطلاب الحوائج قبله. What does it mean? It means that if people need your help, if people come to you and ask you for favor, if you get tired, then it shows that the intellect is not perfect. And you may ask why. It is natural to get tired. But there is another hadith that explains this. There is a hadith, if I'm not mistaken, from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says that people request to you is a sign of God's mercy upon you. It shows that you have a ni'mah. It shows that you have a blessing. It shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you as a source of distributing His ni'mah toward His other servants, His other creation. And do not get tired from this situation. You know, if you do something that you like, you don't get tired. If you know the value of what you're doing, then you don't get tired. So Imam or the Prophet tries to say, appreciate that position, the position of being a mediation in the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this could happen in every sense. So when we say help and favor, most people, they think of like financial help. That's one instance, but it's not all. Sometimes it's about teaching someone something. It's about giving a tip to someone. It's about like supporting a person emotionally. So if you have that capacity to facilitate something for someone, to transfer some experience to someone, to help him does his or her job better, then appreciate that position and do not hesitate and do not feel tired. It is something you should enjoy it. So, and it shows a person with perfect intellect understand the value of such a thing and does not get tired of it. And then yes, the rest of the hadith is very beautiful. I'm afraid if we continue, we cannot finish it in this episode. So we leave it for the next episode. Each of these phrases of the hadith, we can find traces of them in the verses of the Holy Quran. Why such a thing the Prophet has included in his hadith? And we realize that there is a Quranic teaching related to that. Inshallah, we follow it up in the next episode. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabic English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
While the Zionists are huffing and puffing, if they make the mistake of attacking Iran again, there will be a very heavy price to pay. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International wrote, Islamic Republic of Iran's retaliatory strike on Israel, launched on April 13th night, has left the genocidal Zionist shell-shocked. Regardless of the spin they put on it, there were no casualties and there was minor damage to the Nevatim airbase. The fact that is that Iran penetrated its air defenses and struck where it wanted. Iran announced ahead of time its intention to retaliate for the Zionist regime's attack on its consulate at its embassy in Damascus. This led some ill-informed observers to allege that Tehran was not serious, further, that even when Iran launched its drones, it announced doing so in advance. Iran's Shahed-136 drone is a slow-moving aerial vehicle that makes a distinctive humming noise. This increased the skepticism of those who had already convinced themselves that Iran was only putting up a show. After all, why announce your plans ahead of time to give your enemy the time to prepare? The world saw that the Zionist regime's Western backers, including the US, Britain, and France, as well as two bit player, the British-installed Jordanian monarchy, all came to Israel's defense. By the time the drones reached Israeli air defense, Western Air Force planes were ready to take them out. The Zionist regime also activated its much-vaunted $1 billion Iron Dome. Iran's Shahed-136 drone cost $20,000. Every missile fired from the Iron Dome or any other air defense platform costs $1 million plus. In terms of direct costs alone, the Zionist regime and its backers had to spend $1 million to take out a single $20,000 drone. The Zionist regime's cost in air defense has been estimated at over $1.35 billion. This amount does not take into account the loss suffered as a result of closure of its airspace, disruption to its economy, and other associated costs. Iran's next wave of strikes consisted of cruise missiles that are designed to release multiple dummy missiles to set the Iron Dome missiles on a wild chase. These multiple missiles are actually decoys meant to confuse and overwhelm the Iron Dome or other systems like David's sling. This is exactly what happened. While Israel's US-supplied Iron Dome was chasing the decoys, Iran launched another salvo of hypersonic missiles that struck the Israeli airbase at Nevatim in the south. Iran has said 20 missiles struck this airbase, causing extensive damage. The Zionist regime's military spokesperson Daniel Hagari admitted that some missiles got through but caused light structural damage. How he quantified light structural damage was not explained, but there was admission that some missiles did go through. These missiles, believed to be the Fatah hypersonic missiles, sent an important message. No place in Israel is safe from Iran's precision missiles. If Iran had wanted, it could have hit the bunker in Tel Aviv, where Netanyahu was hiding during the retaliatory strike. So why strike the Nevatim airbase in particular? It was from this base that the Zionist regime had launched its US-supplied F-35 planes, whose missiles destroyed Iran's consulate in Damascus, in which 7 Iranian Revolutionary Guard commanders were murdered. 2 of them were generals, Mohammad Reza Zahedi and his deputy general, Mohammad Hadi Haji Rahimi. General Zahedi was the commander of Revolutionary Guard's forces in Syria and Lebanon. Iran also struck the Ramon Air Base in the Negev, as well as another military base on the illegally occupied Golan Heights. Following the Zionist regime's April 1st attack on Iran's consulate in Damascus, Tehran still opted for the diplomatic route. It urged the UN Security Council to condemn Israel's attack on its consulate, which was in flagrant violation of the Vienna Convention guaranteeing protection to diplomatic missions. Diplomatic missions are considered the country's territory. So, the Zionist regime's attack on Iran's diplomatic mission was essentially Iranian territory. When a statement drafted by Russia condemning the consulate attack was vetoed by the US, the UK and France, Iran was deeply disappointed, though not surprised. Those that drum beat the loudest for upholding rule-based international order are its biggest violators. Despite this disappointing outcome at the UN, Iran still opted for a diplomatic solution. It said that it would not strike Israel if there was a ceasefire in Gaza. The arrogant Zionists and their equally arrogant Western backers assumed that Iran was not capable of striking Israel. In the past, Iran had shown a strategic restraint when its generals were murdered in Syria or its scientists in Tehran. Iran's patience was exhausted. It was time to act and do so forcefully. Its response came on the night of April 13th. Iran not only punctured the Zionist regime's myth of invincibility, it had already been seriously dented by Hamas' valiant resistance that has lasted more than 6 months, but also exposed the Zionist entity as a dependency of the Western regimes that attempt to protect it. The strike delivered a number of messages to the US, Israel, and the Arab regimes. Iran can hit any part of Israel directly and overwhelm the so-called Iron Dome. And it did on April 13th to 14th from its own territory without using its allies in the region. There is little that Israel could do about it. While the Zionists are huffing and puffing, if they make the mistake of attacking Iran again, there will be a very heavy price to pay. The same message has been delivered to the treacherous Arab regimes, their concrete and glass towers will come crashing down if they continue to stay in bed with the Zionists. American bases in the region will suffer the same fate. Further, Iran can chalk off the supply of oil to world markets by blocking the Strait of Hormuz. It will cause massive damage to the economies of the US, Europe, and other countries. And there is little or nothing they can do about it.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and a very noble hadith and tradition, which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, the fifth Imam of the family of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is about flattering transgressors, meaning praising them, flattering them, with the hopes of getting something out of it, you know. In fact, this is something which has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, and in a verse of the Holy Quran, God Almighty says, who are eager that you should be pliable so that they may be pliable towards you. Imam Baqir alayhi salam in this beautiful hadith says the following. Allah revealed to the Prophet Shu'aib. So in fact, this is one of those Hadith-e-Qudsi. Hadith-e-Qudsi is a tradition in a hadith in which God speaks in the first person. You might be speaking to a prophet. You might be speaking to a great person, right? Such as, who might not be a prophet, but nevertheless is a wise person, is a great person. Like the prophet Luqman, like the sage Luqman. But in this tradition, the Imam alayhi salam mentions this sacred tradition and Hadith Qudsi. God Almighty revealed the following to Prophet Shu'aib. Verily, I am punishing 100,000 members of your community. A lot of people. 40,000 from among the evildoers and 60,000 from among the good doers. When the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam heard this, he was surprised and he was amazed. So he asked, "My Lord, evildoers fine, but what about the good doers?" Meaning, why would you punish so many good doers? What have they done? Why do they deserve punishment? Then Allah, mighty and exalted, answered him by revealing the following to him. This was because they were pliable with the transgressors and did not express any anger at what anger means. Meaning these people were amongst transgressors, were amongst sinners, but they did not express any regret and any anger at what these people were doing. These people were sinning in front of them, they were transgressing in front of them, but these people, they didn't mention anything to them. They didn't try to stop them, right? They were pliable to them. They might even have been flattering them to get their affairs accomplished and done, right? They didn't do Amr bil Ma'ruf, they didn't enjoy the good, or Nahi an Munkar, they didn't forbid the evil. This led them to incur God's wrath, and God punished 60,000 good people from amongst the community and the ummah of Shu'aib alayhi salam. So this is a very dangerous act, and we should be careful of it. In a similar tradition, Imam Ali says, "The worst of your brothers is he who flatters you and conceals you from your faults, or conceals your faults from you." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at flattering the transgressors in the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. President Ibrahim Raisi says that Iran's retaliatory strikes